before they come back in to see them lots and lots of times, and hopefully having them use the system of supports in a preventative way and help them with their families that they're constantly wondering what to do with, the ones that have mental health and alcohol and drug issues, the ones that have failure to thrive issues, the families that have abuse and neglect issues, working with those physicians to make sure that those folks get into services as quickly as possible. And then the next one is the one that I was talking about, the thinning the soup one, and the one I think is very unfortunate is the only one-year funding for family resource centers and then the elimination of the second-year funding, and we have also eliminated that funding in for the next biennium, 2003-2005. Again, I think these are programs that are valuable to communities, and I think some of these smaller communities will miss them greatly and provide hundreds and hundreds of family support services. So that was our first 2% decrease in services.
Questions from the committee members?
Just one, Madam Chair. What's your target, your percentage target? What's the amount for 2%?
Oh, it is, the 2%, $1.9 million. Each one of them is about $1.9 million for the percentages. Representative Starr, is that what
$1.9 million is your target for each 2%.
Yes, that's correct.
Any questions or comments?
I'm sorry, I stand corrected. It's 1.169. That's where the, excuse me, Representative.
1.169.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking 1.2 million.
Just about. Thank you.
Please proceed.
The second 2% is to remove the additional resources that we received through the 2001 session for crisis relief nurseries. We have 8 crisis relief nurseries in the state, and they received an additional $568,000 for their services on top of the resources that were in the governor's budget. This was to address waiting lists and for families that are trying to get into crisis relief nurseries and to support those outreach services that crisis relief nurseries do so well. This was, I think, during testimony, was one of the areas that I think most folks hearing this testimony really believed was a good investment of their dollars. However, in looking at the reduction in resources, because this was additional resource on top of the base budget, we recommended that for reduction.
If this cut is implemented, how will the reductions be applied across the relief nursery system?
Madam Chair, the reductions were recommended to us by the relief nurseries, and we would use that recommendation for the reduction. And then the next one is the delay of the Healthy Start rollout. We were asked to roll out Healthy Start to the 16 remaining counties that currently do not have a Healthy Start Family Support Program. We have, since the 1993, there has always been legislation to support the rollout of Healthy Start statewide. There have not been resources to do that. The opportunity came with the Oregon Children's Plan to have Healthy Start as one of the core components of that children's plan and to roll it out to all 36 counties. So again, we could begin the front-end investment with children and families in preventing those high-end services. We would delay that rollout for 7 of those 16 counties. We had started the process to have the remaining 16 apply for those resources, and we received 9 applications. And so 7 counties have let us know that they're currently still working on getting their system together to be able to do the support service. And so we would delay rolling out Healthy Start to those 7 counties until, no later than July 1 of 2002. But it would be a delay. We were scheduled to roll out all 36 in February of 2002.
Is that... what I've, I'm like the third line from the bottom on that section, it says 0103 savings of 131,000 to 3.1 million. Is the range accounted for by the number of counties?
Yes, the range is accounted for. Representative Morgan, the range is accounted.
That's quite a range.
It is quite a range. But we have to remember that one of the counties in this group is Multnomah County.
Oh, and Madam Chair?
Yes.
I see that this paragraph deals with your third through your fifth.
That's correct.
Set of reductions. So that's sure. You're addressing that at 3%. At the third set of reduction, it's 131,000. It grows, and then by the fifth, it would be 3.1. Yes. Okay. Okay.
Oh, okay. So it's not 1.169 for each, the third, fourth, and the fifth. It is.
If you were to separate it out that way, but Representative Smith, what you have is, if you roll them all together, you get at the 3 million level by the time you get to 10%.
Got it.
Representative Starr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question I had is in our previous presentation, there was an $11 million line item targeted for reduction in that. How does that affect this?
Madam Chair, Representative Starr, the Oregon Children's Plan is a package of supports for children and families. What happens is Healthy Start, as a component of the Children's Plan, will support young families and find in young families the issues of mental health and alcohol and drug. And the $11 million was to support those services for those young families that have been identified, again, on the prevention side. If you eliminate the $11 million for that piece of the Children's Plan, then, in fact, when these families are identified, they will have nowhere to go to get those support services they need.
Just a follow-up. So it doesn't necessarily affect your budget and these dollars that you're talking about here?
Representative Starr, it does not.
Thank you.
When we are talking about delaying the rollout of the program within counties, what was the process that was used to prioritize or put those counties in a certain order to be in the rollout?
Representative Morgan, we offered the rollout to all 16 counties. The counties were allowed to prioritize themselves. In other words, what we said was you can go in one or two tiers. The first tier is that you believe that you have your 0-8 system of supports in place and you're able to do a quality Healthy Start family support service. And those counties self-selected and said, 9 of them said, we are ready to go. We can do this service. And then the other 7 said, you know, we've got just a little bit more work to do. We don't have a health care provider. We don't have other support services that we need before we can take advantage of this service. And so for the first time, we allowed counties to say we're ready or not. And they self-selected out, and we received 9 of those at this particular time.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sure all of us are eager to know who are the 7 that selected out.
Representative Johnson, a number of those were the smaller communities. We have Gillum, Wheeler, Lake. Other ones am I thinking about here? Remember?
Morrow.
Morrow's in.
Really?
I'm trying to think. They're the smaller. Crook County is another one. Jefferson is another one. Rance is another one. Most of the smaller ones.
The Klamath Inn, I can't remember.
Klamath Inn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, and what we've offered is technical assistance and support to get them to a place where they can provide the service. As an example, Gillum Wheeler, those communities, because of the low number of births and the travel distances, we're working at doing a combined program for both those communities, and they're working together to develop that.
Representative Nolan has a question.
Given that you've identified that it is the smallest population counties that are not currently in the program and are the ones that have opted themselves out, it's hard for me to understand how you generate much savings, but that's because I'm assuming that the funds are allocated on roughly a proportional basis, or how are they allocated from county to county?
Madam Chair, Representative Nolan, the Healthy Start funds are allocated on a per first birth, 60% first birth at $1,100 a first birth. So, depending on your first birth, that's how the funds are allocated. And so, for the smaller counties, I don't want to give the impression that they are not eager to have the services. What they need is more technical assistance and support so that they can make sure that they have all of the areas covered so they can do good quality service. And so, none of the counties that I mentioned that currently are not in the loop, if you will, have said, we don't want the service. As a matter of fact, just the opposite. They're working very hard to make sure that they have the internal resources to provide the service. Wallowa is the other county that...
Follow-up, Representative Neville.
It is a follow-up, and you may have just answered it. Did I hear you say earlier that Multnomah County is on that list?
Representative Nola, Multnomah County is in the opt-in list.
Okay.
Please proceed.
Madam Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Butler.
One question on the... I'm trying to grasp where the reductions are coming. On the second 2% reduction, it shows 568,000. It says 2001, 2003 reduction, 568,803. Is that per year?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, that's the biennium.
How do we come up with the 1.169 million out of that 2%? If 2% equals 1,169,000, two times the 568 would be 1,013,000, approximately.
Madam Chair. Madam Chair.
Yes.
My explanation would be in looking at the totals, the agency comes up with their total 10%, but within those each of those 2% categories, they didn't cut off if a particular action they didn't cut off if a particular action would get them to the 1.2% or the 1.2 million if that action didn't make sense. So they within those categories, each one isn't an equal amount.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions or comments from the committee? Back to you.
Thank you, Representative Morgan. The third 2%, the fourth 2%, and the fifth 2% are reductions in the Healthy Start Family Support area. The legislature, as part of the Oregon Children's Plan, saw that Healthy Start was an integral part of that particular service and that we were only currently funding 60% of the first birth being served and added additional support to phase in this biennium up to 80% of first births. So you would take that formula that I discussed and at one point at the $1,100 per first birth at 60% and now we would have $1,100 per first birth serving 80% of the family's first birth. Because we had discussed the fact that we were not reaching the number of families that we would like to reach and the legislature believed that those families needed this support again for preventative services. And so this is the reduction of that increase in Healthy Start, starting with reducing the 80% to 70% in the third tier, reducing the 70% to 65%, and back to at 10%, the 60% level for which Healthy Start currently is.
That concludes
my presentation.
Madam Chair.
Representative Shetterman.
Well, it wasn't good news, but I want to remark, Donna, that this at least was not as painful as the Department of Human Services, but I think only because it wasn't as long. and I am mindful of the season of the year. It seems to me that in Ebenezer Scrooge's England, when he asked at least the poorhouses were still open and the debtors' prisons still had room. I'm afraid that we're looking at cuts here cumulatively that are going to put us in a situation where in the not too distant future in Oregon, for significant parts of our population, our equivalent of the debtors' prison and poorhouses will be either closed or full to the brim and doors closed. That's
pretty sobering.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Yep, I'm done.
Representative Starr.
Thank you. As I'm looking at this sheet, the Oregon Children's Plan, that was the nearly $11.5 million. That is a shift from where else it came from within your agency. Isn't that correct?
Representative Starr, that is correct. If you look up at the juvenile services line,
okay. You
will see that the 5.5 went to the Oregon Children's Plan that was in that particular grant stream.
So that's where that money came.
That's correct.
Then I have an additional question.
Yes.
The number that's here on this sheet doesn't match, this might be for LFO, does not match the LFO number that's in the packet or in our notebook.
Madam Chair, Representative Starr, I believe what this sheet is showing is the program dollars that are being allocated out and comparing those two, it's not their total budget. And this is also only the general fund. So they have more general fund in their budget that they use for some staffing supports for these programs and for their general administrative pieces.
Okay, so that leads me to another question, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm.
What kinds of cuts are being recommended for the rest of your general fund that's not on the sheet?
We also, Representative Starr, have $292,000 that are recommended in our administration budget from the State Commission.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair?
Representative Shetter.
This comment is in no way a reflection on Donna, in whom I have the utmost confidence. But I hope that for our purposes in our own due diligence, that LFO is looking at every one of these agency proposals and looking beyond just the proposed cuts to cuts that have not been proposed but that may otherwise be made, because it seems to me that before we begin to buy into any kind of reductions that have the impacts that these will have on real people, I'm going to want to know absolutely that every other option at the administrative level and in other areas of program have been thoroughly examined, because like I say, this is cutting too deep, too fast for my taste, and I'm going to want to know, and I'm sure LFO has been given the charge to look at each one of these budgets, not only in terms of what's been proposed to us for cut by the agency, but maybe what has not been proposed, but what we should consider. Again, that's not a reflection on you at all, but I'm just saying this is hard to buy into, and before I press that green button, I'm going to want to know that we have exhausted every other option that might be available to us in a helpful sort of way.
Perhaps you could outline the process that LFO is going through with them at this point.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, we are working and looking at, for each agency, alternatives to this option list, both BAM and LFO. As a starting point, we're using what the agencies are presenting to you. We're looking at, not so much in this agency, but in other agencies where it's feasible, looking at revenue options, particularly DHS, for example. We're obviously, as we talk through the numbers, it gets into the policy issues, and that discussion still remains to be had about where you put your priorities. But we are looking at the options. Both administrative and in terms of program. Now, for this particular agency, what you see on this list is either enhancements that were made by the legislature in conjunction with the governor's children's plan or other restorations that the governor had proposed to reduce but the legislature added back. And so in approaching this, the commission has identified those as the things that sort of last in, first out approach, if you will, in terms of accounting. Their base programs in terms of payments to counties for the county comprehensive plans and the programs identified there, they have not put on this list. As Donna presented to you, that was part of what they determined to be their core mission, and they didn't identify those as alternatives. To put this in context, now those payments to counties were reduced significantly or redirected to fund some of the children's plan. And so as we're looking at alternatives, I think we will probably start out at the same place. We may tweak this a little bit. There may be something else that we're able to find. But I would call your attention in terms of the administrative reductions for this agency. If you go to your binder under the tab for Human Services Programs under Item 4, behind the list of the program reductions options, there's also a list of the administrative reduction options. For this agency, basically, there are additional delays in hiring staff or ultimately not hiring staff and providing services that were funded to help implement the children's plan that was approved by the legislature. So what they've done is tie in their programmatic and their administrative reductions on a conceptual basis, if you will, to get to the overall budget 10%.
And I just like to, if I could just make one comment, 96% of the funds that come to the State Commission go to local communities. So in our administration portion of our budget's quite small.
Representative Butler, did you have a question?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I just, and going back to one of the basic concepts that we started off with, this is a budget which has increased its general fund amount by $9.6 million. 18.5%. I recognize that a large portion of that may be the governor's Healthy Start Children program and his her intervention for first baby families.
Thank you. Further questions or comments from the committee members? Representative Booth.
Madam Chair, I'm going to follow up with Representative Chardley's position also on this. These kind of cuts are draconian, and for another reason also. These are cuts at a group of very, very young families and infants that is preventative. And the effect of this long term, 2, 3, 4, 5 years out, is significant, significantly more than we can collect in just a day. It's concerning to me that we're talking about cutting programs that really have long term effects as far as TANF caseloads later on, as far as employment later on, along with educational things later on. It's a spiraling effect that we don't really see just in black and white here today. And I think we have to keep that in mind, that when you cut these kind of programs, we may not see the results of them for 2, 3, 4, or 5 years when they're lost. And the programs were designed and set up because we had good outcome-based information saying these programs work to reduce cost to the DHS in the long run at a later time. So when we go through a budget crunch like this, when we have these kind of situations occurring, we start throwing out things. We really need to think twice about throwing out because we're looking at some long-term effects here. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair.
Representative Shutter.
Just a comment. It's kind of like the family reducing the household budget by putting the kids on bread and water. And that's what we're going to do to save money. And that creates its own set of problems.
Representative March.
Thank you. Donna, when we were listening to the presentation on some other juvenile projects, they talked about the equity and issues. Has the state ever, or has there been contemplation of some of the counties that were not receiving Healthy Start funds? You know, there was certainly an inequity in that up until 2 years ago, half the counties in the state did not have Healthy Start dollars, and other counties did. And just as we've reached equity in educational funding, I assume that there was among the juvenile advocates some pressure to bring all children in the state up to this level. Have you heard any possibility of lawsuits or anything like that? That if we did not roll this out to the rest of these counties, would we be facing the possibility of a lawsuit for treating some children unlike others?
Chair Morgan, Representative March, we've had considerable discussion. An example would be Multnomah County. Multnomah County has not had Healthy Start Family Support Services since 1993. And every session when we come in to talk about Healthy Start, people talk about the inequity of a population that is so high in need, and yet we don't have the resources to support that particular population. But Healthy Start is in the two other counties surrounding Multnomah County. It's in Clackamas, it's in Washington. And yes, we were getting information from Multnomah County that said, even to the extent of we have a much higher need than, and I'm just going to use Gilliam and Wheeler as an example, so therefore if in fact you're going to have to prioritize it, we're going to make sure that we get the priority over those smaller communities. We had that discussion two sessions ago. We had the discussion last session, and we'll continue to have that discussion. Yes, I think there is inequity. Would we find a lawsuit? I'm not sure.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you taking the time to come and
talk.
Thank
you very much.
Chair calls the Commission for the Blind.
That's right. Yeah, Dylan Wheeler. Vastly prefer that.
Welcome. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. Do you want to wait till the materials are handed out, or shall I proceed?
Would it be possible for you to speak more loudly?
Sure. For the record, I'm Linda Mock, and I'm administrator of the Commission for the Blind. And I thought I would briefly go over and set the context in which we work within our agency and establish what our mission and our basic programs are really briefly, so that you can consider that in the priorities that we establish for reductions. The overall mission of the Commission for the Blind is to assist Oregonians who are blind in integration back into the community, principally through employment and a vocational rehabilitation program, as well as independent living services, particularly for the older blind. And you'll see this on page 2 of the handout that you're just receiving. It goes over our goals very briefly. As I said, we are in the business of putting blind individuals back into work, helping increase their employment, their level of income, and their dependence on benefits, particularly SSI, SSDI, as well as the Oregon Health Plan. We provide specific skills training to blind individuals to help them maintain their independence in the community and in their home. And we also have a continuum of services. We begin working with youth as they're exiting the high school system, helping them move into employment and adult services. We also have a goal of preventing institutionalization of elderly individuals and keeping them as independent as possible in their homes. Page 3 briefly describes our operating environment and some of the issues that we have been facing. We are seeing an impact of the economic factors that are taking place in the state and our employment outcomes, and we have noted in the last few months that our applications are actually up 12% over what they would have been for the same time period last year. Due to the demographics of the state, and I think of our whole nation, we are seeing an increase in our elderly blind population. We also see an increasing need for technology and training of blind individuals on adaptive techniques for using computers, things such as voice output, braille, enlargement. We train individuals so that they can then use those skills on their jobs. We are also seeing some other factors that are going on, such as a ticket to work program within Social Security Administration, the one-stop partnerships. We're working in those environments. Page 4 will give you a brief overview of our major client training programs. Our largest program is our vocational rehabilitation program, which offers counseling and guidance, employment training, adaptive skills training, job retention, transition services, and we also have a summer work experience program. The Orientation and Career Center for the Blind is located in Portland, but it's a residential program that serves individuals from throughout the state on providing the adaptive skills that blind individuals need in order to move into the community, specifically how to travel with a cane, how to read braille, use low vision devices, and
thank you, Madam Chair. I don't mean to be disrespectful, and I'm not. I'm not indeed. But I've always been a terrible mystery book writer, reader, and so I always look to the last page to see who done it. And I'm looking here that your cumulative total agency impact on the general fund is $130,000. And I want to say, why bother?
Okay. Well, if you would, I just want to give you
the
background.
That's not criticism directed at you. I'm saying you've gone through a lot of effort to identify $130,000 in general fund savings, reaching your target 10%, I guess?
Yes, that is true. And we do have a federal match, which I think if you look at the other line,
sure,
is probably very significant.
Why are we taking, I'm just writing a note to the chair asking, considering the size of the budget, the 4-to-1 match, why are we doing this?
Well, and this is a very good question.
I'm sorry.
I agree with your point. Thank you.
I think that we've all come to, you know, looking at the back page of
yes,
the presentation.
Yes, I can understand. I do that as well.
Wiping our jaws off the tabletop here. Are there general funds in your agency that don't have the degree of federal fund match that these cuts that you have outlined have?
Madam Chair, no, there are not. In fact, all of our general funds are used for match. We have the 4-to-1 match, and then in the older blank program, it's actually only a 10% match for a 90%. It's a very small amount of money. But if you look on page 8, I kind of outlined our guiding principles for the cuts. You'll notice that one of them was to maintain our federal funding as much as possible, but we really have no general funds that are not used for match.
Representative Smith. How does your commission work with the Oregon School for the Blind that's located here in Salem? Do you have any overlapping programs or assistance or anything like that?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, we're an adult vocational rehabilitation program, and they are a program that serves children and youth as an educational program, but we do have some cooperative programs that we work on with them. We have a cooperative agreement through which they are actually providing us some other funding that we are using for match in our vocational rehabilitation program to provide transition services for youth as they're exiting that system. And we have a summer work experience program that we work with cooperatively that is housed actually in two locations, but one location is at the School for the Blind that is a supported employment model for students with the most severe disabilities who would need job coaches. So we do work cooperatively with them.
So once these students at the Oregon School for the Blind reach age 18 or 19 or whatever, your services will come in and then help them train for adult skills.
I'm sure Representative Smith, yes, that is correct. We would help them into employment.
So you're actually not only working with the Commission of the Blind, but also with the School of the Blind in your existing budget?
Yes, within our existing budget, the transition services that we provide do serve youth who are from throughout the state in the regional programs as well as the School for the Blind.
Yeah. Madam Chair, this kind of opens the can of worms where it's a double-edged sword. Not only are they helping their own group, but also a totally independent School for the Blind located here in Salem. I for one, am not justified in taking these cuts, just food for thought, but
I would just ask the committee to consider that we are an informational gathering body.
Yeah. Okay.
And the purview of this committee is to pass this information on as we step through the deliberations and the rebalance. And I think that all of us in our own minds have come to a very similar conclusion with the information that we've been presented on this list.
Madam Chair, if we get to within $130,000 of our target,
that last bit,
we know where to go.
We reach the goal. We know where to go.
We know where to go.
We might take up a collection.
Yes.
Give them $100,000, and maybe they could come back.
Yes. Most of us want to be noted that we took the last $130,000 from some blind children.
That would be your legacy.
Well,
Madam Chair, members of the committee, if you briefly want to look at page 9, we do have some impacts there, which is the loss of the federal funds. But in addition, to further amplify that issue, within the Rehabilitation Services Act, which provides our federal funding, there is a concept called maintenance of effort, for which we are penalized for falling below our current level of match, and that would be a dollar-for-dollar loss. It actually happens 2 years out. It's a one-year penalty, but that is in addition. So that's a longer-term impact than the current year as well for any decrease that we might have in the program.
I am not going to cause you to sit here and tell us the rest of the story because I think it's very clear to us. But if there is any more information that you would like to leave us with, I would invite you to just abbreviate your presentation.
Well, I think you did get the major points that there would be. And rather quickly, I might note. Sure. I appreciate that. It is a significant loss of federal dollars, and our goal is to put people back into employment, and therefore we are saving the taxpayers money. One of our pages in here that I won't go into the detail will show you that over the lifetime of employment of an individual, they will be saving money to the Oregon Health Plan. So while you might be cutting money in our budget, you might be having additional expenses due to those cuts in other programs that you might want to consider that factor as well.
Quite well made. Does the committee, Representative Hobson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to point out that obviously these cuts are dastardly, but I'm not sure if we look at in the big picture that the cuts to some of the other agencies are not just as disastrous. It's just that they're in larger numbers and it's not as easy to comprehend. And of course, the 4-to-1 match is critical.
Thank you. Further comments by the committee? What I'm going to do then is give everyone an extended lunch break. And we will recess the meeting until 1:30, and when we come back this afternoon, we will be dealing with economic development agencies and some other miscellaneous agencies. So I will see everyone back here at 1:30, and we are in recess.